The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And while you're out doing last-minute shopping, so's Congress. But here's the difference. You have a budget, Congress doesn't. And Congress just got caught trying to put $100 billion on our credit card. How long does $100 billion last? Probably all year, right? No, 2.5 months. And then they do it all again. Look at this. Look how many pages this is. It's 1,500 pages. They released it last night. We're supposed to read it and vote on it today. But no one read it, except us. They tried to write into law that no one's allowed to look at Congress's emails. So if I get a subpoena, you get a subpoena, we have to hand our emails over. But Congress, if they get a subpoena, they don't have to. So if Trump wants to investigate the January 6th committee to find out what happened, you can't see the politicians' emails. If Nancy's texting Paulie P. about investment opportunities, no one's allowed to see it. Congress just tried to write a law that puts them above the law. Congress is also funding a censorship program. They're giving money to the State Department to censor things that they don't like online. We're funding Congress to take away our free speech. And remember, vax mandates? They're back. Congress is funding more vax mandates. You know, for the next pandemic. The section of the bill is called Pandemic Preparedness. Gain of function, you know, the risky experiments that flew out of Wuhan and killed a million of us. Congress is trying to fund gain of function research again. And $100 million goes to migrant farm workers. Why don't the farms pay the migrants? Not sure. And this is a 5-year, $100 billion contract. Once this thing passes, DOGE can't touch it. Oh, and they're keeping Kamala's electric bus program. Kamala lost, but her earmark didn't. Doesn't stop there. Remember Obamacare? You hate it, right? So does Congress. But now Congress gets to opt out of Obamacare. You're not allowed to opt out. Congress, the people who wrote Obamacare into law, they don't like it. So they're opting out of it. Congress is giving themselves a $6,000 raise to keep up with the cost of living. Now, why has the cost of living gone up? Because of Congress. Congress is trying to give themselves a raise to keep up with the cost of living that they caused because they spent so much.
We said we'd do something different. Since we've been given the majority again, we're adding $330 billion in literally totally unpaid for additional deficit spending just since November 5th in 45 days. I don't see how that's doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're just fundamentally unserious about spending. And as long as you got a blank check, you can't shrink government. If you can't shrink government, you can't live free.
Congress has had all year to get this done, and they always wait until the last second. And they try to pull a fast one. They get caught. They whine about Christmas and promise they won't do it again. And it's the same thing every time. Trump won because Democrats caused inflation. And now Republicans, with the help of Democrats, are causing inflation before they go on vacation.
We don't know what events are going to happen each year, but this one is very predictable. Every year, this same story happens. It happens when the news cycle gets slow because everyone wants to take off for winter break. But this story is always there. And like Jesse says there, they wait for it. They know it's coming. But we've got to have that shutdown as the threat to get another pork spending bill across the finish line. Absolutely no remorse from even the Republicans after what just happened in November with the victory of Donald Trump. They one last stand. Let's try this one last time. Let's pass this bill or there's going to be another shutdown. 1,500 pages, and then we expect you to be able to vote on it the very next day. We can't do this throughout the year. We can't make the bills smaller and just more focused on specifics, because, well, then there wouldn't be the spirit of compromise. And then we wouldn't have unity. And we wouldn't be able to bury all of our pet projects in there as well. What will the poor Pakistanis studying genderqueer theory do without the $1.5 million that the taxpayer sends them? I don't know who's making money off of that one. There's got to be somebody in Congress that is somehow shuffling some cash into their own pocket from some of these ludicrous sounding projects. But this, in many ways, this is the last straw. It's like their last stand. Some of the things that Jesse covered that they've woven in to this spending bill, and they want to hamstring Donald Trump. And Donald Trump and Elon Musk have both said, this isn't happening. We're not signing it. And Elon, in a lot of ways, is leading the charge. He's got 200 million followers, I think, on Twitter. I mean, he speaks now for a lot of people. And there's a lot who are saying we need to primary Republicans who are pushing this. It's the last straw. People have had enough. I wait for this story every year. I can't stand it because it's the same thing every year. This is inept government trying to operate in all of this wasteful spending. And then, like Jesse said there, even if you get DOGE in, they can't touch this money because it's allocated for 5+ years. Hello, by the way, and welcome to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston, usually your producer for the show, stepping in to host for today. If you have any comments for the show, send those to td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our Rumble page as well. You can watch the live stream there. So again, this is the last attempt here. Even some of the wording in this bill, all of the woke jargon, it's just like, here's our last attempt to thwart President Trump and even thwart his ability to investigate the January 6th committee. Like Jesse said there, well, now all of these members of Congress are above the law. They can't be investigated. Well, it doesn't look like this thing is going anywhere. But again, it's the same story over and over. It's the same reason Donald Trump was elected. People see this and they're sick and tired of it. They're sick and tired of a government that's very efficient in taking care of itself, very efficient in growing itself and making sure that its members are well taken care of, but very inefficient at taking care of the citizens it's meant to provide and look after. I mean, even some of these programs that are going to get that would be affected by the shutdown, a lot of people comment and say, it's like they're shut down all year long, as hard as it is to get them to do anything. So bring on a shutdown, so be it. It's not even a threat anymore. It's not something that we fear. Well, like I said, this is usually a slow period of the year, so I prepared a show that was attempting to be more timeless, and then, of course, quite a few things started pouring in over the news wire, if you have it there. Reuters, they published this article today. I won't spend much time in it. But again, the hypocrites are not dying off that quickly. Reuters says, Trump says he wants retribution. Some critics fear he will use the IRS to get it. Absolutely no awareness. Like they've just blotted out Obama's history of using the IRS to target conservative groups. If Donald Trump really wants retribution, he should defund the IRS, take away that $80 million that they were just given and tens of thousands of more employees. Defund the IRS. There's retribution there, and that protects everybody. Make it fair, make it unbiased, or get rid of it. Joe Biden, he's been commuting sentences by the thousands, pardoning people, and he says it's all nonviolent offenders, and people are looking at these lists. They're huge lists. I remember Obama doing the same thing and having to go through this PDF file that was hundreds and hundreds of pages long. And again, they say, well, it's nonviolent crimes, and then you read what these people are getting their sentences shortened for. Well, yeah, they weren't violent, I guess, or they're not charged for that, but you read these things and it says they fired a gun at police. They missed. So they're not charged with murder or something like that, but then they're getting their sentence shortened. But they totally intended to murder. Biden has freed this woman who was sentenced for murdering three of her husbands for insurance fraud. Three times. She's a serial killer, essentially, so she could claim the money, and Biden's letting her go. I mean, all of these people, thousands of them, it's hard to get through. I haven't even been bothering to look at it because you know exactly the sort of people that are getting let off the hook. It's a bunch of Hunter Bidens. In this case, this is way even worse. And then today, just breaking, was the end of Fannie Willis in Georgia. Another inexplicable victory for Donald Trump. Take yourself back to 2022, 2023. I should have brought some of the clips. All of them saying, Donald Trump, he doesn't know how to handle a black female prosecutor. She's really in his head. She's got him now. He doesn't know what to do there. Who could... I don't know all of Trump's lawyers. I know he picks a lot of them because they're good at talking on TV. I don't know. I've read a few of their arguments, and I don't think they could certainly be a lot stronger. But who could foresee getting a victory in this way? Who could foresee Fannie Willis having that whole scandal and getting taken out of the way? And then it was the first level of what do they call that, trial court. And the judge says, okay, well, Fannie can stay on, but Nathan Wade, he's got to go. Or it was one or the other. And of course, Fannie throws Nathan Wade off into the ditch. And then we find out they're still dating a few months later. But today, that appellate court in Georgia says, no. What she was doing is, she needs to be removed from the case. There is no way she can oversee this. So she's completely taken out of the way right now. This is CNN reporting on. This is clip two.
We begin this hour with breaking news just into CNN. The Georgia prosecutor leading the state's election interference case against President-elect Donald Trump is now disqualified. CNN's Caitlin Polance is here with more. Caitlin, what can you tell us about this? This is just coming in the last several minutes. This is a big development.
A big development, and a big development that Donald Trump has wanted for a long time. That case against him in Georgia, the criminal case where it's accusing him and several others of a racketeering conspiracy related to the 2020 election, it's already been paused. Now, it's not even backburnered. This is a case that will be dead in the water.
It's over, dead in the water. If Fulton County wants to keep prosecuting this case, they have to get pretty much a new DA to lead the charge. Fannie and everyone in her office, they're not allowed to touch it. Again, this is God intervening here and preserving Donald Trump to get across the finish line there, to recover the White House. You couldn't make this up. You couldn't argue this as a lawyer, the way even just that one specific aspect of the lawfare was resolved. And we'll talk about all of the others as well. I mean, it's miraculous how these things just disappeared. Well, like I said, I had prepared a somewhat more timeless program. I didn't realize how, well, I should have realized how big it was going to be, and it really ballooned. So hopefully I can get through a lot of this. I want to talk about Bible prophecy in the year 2024, and I think we've covered quite a bit of it on this show, obviously, throughout the year, and I wanted to collect that and just give you a broad overview of how the Bible is center stage this year. How Bible prophecy is really, it's the book of the year every year. It's the most accurate book. It's the best at telling you what's going to happen. I saw this article earlier this month in the Wall Street Journal. It says, sales of Bibles are booming, fueled by first-time buyers and new versions. They write, Bibles are a bright spot in books this year. Worries about the economy, conflicts abroad, and uncertainty over the election pushed readers toward the publication in droves. Bible sales are up 22% in the U.S. through the end of October, compared with the same period last year. By contrast, total U.S. print book sales were up less than 1% in that period. So people are anxious, and they're turning again to God. And it's like Mr. Armstrong wrote, I'm just going through Mystery of the Ages again, and he talks about how the average person doesn't want to have God intervening in their lives. They want God to mind his own business, so to speak, until there's a problem. He writes, in other words, the average person, this is Mystery of the Ages, has an unrealized passive hostility against God, Without realizing it actively, they want God to keep his nose out of their business, except at a time when they are in deep trouble and they cry out for God's help. We heard a lot of talk about God in the lead up to this election. A lot of people acknowledging July 13th was a miracle. But stopping at that, I mean, even now after he's won, I feel like you hear that less. There's less credit going to God. There's less talk about what was God doing there. And a lot of people will say it was a miracle. And they, like we've said on this show, well, they don't ask the next question. Why would God do that? What's he doing that for? Is it so interest rates can be lowered and you can get a house? Is it so gas prices can come down? Is the great God of the universe doing all of this just so you can save 50 cents a gallon on gas? Ask those big questions. If you acknowledge that that is a miracle, we'll keep moving forward with that. What's the next question there? The journal, Wall Street Journal, says people are experiencing anxiety themselves or they're worried for their children and grandchildren, said Jeff Crosby, president of the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. He says it's related to artificial intelligence, election cycles, and all that feeds a desire for assurance that we're going to be okay. The demand for Bibles, the journal writes, is rising despite evidence that the country is growing increasingly secularized. And that's, again, an interesting comment in light of Amos 7 and what it says about the high places of Isaac. You can read that on your own. We cover that in America Under Attack. The journal says the proliferation of new additions and innovative designs, and they just talk about how in a lot of ways, a lot of this is a marketing gimmick because these publishers, they're publishing new versions of it, making it easier to read or tailoring it towards a targeted audience more. I mean, a lot of it is a marketing gimmick. It's, well, give me what I want to hear, like it says in Isaiah 30:10. Make me feel good. Here's a version specifically for you. You'll find what you want here. There's a Bible version for everybody. The journal talks about this mother of two who's really embraced the Bible and is actually pretty popular on social media. I've never heard of her. But it talks about this woman and says she started to read the Bible this year after feeling unfulfilled by years of advice on self-care, staying healthy, and pursuing a career. She said she also sought stability as things just went off the rails a little too quickly throughout society. We're kind of holding on to the edge of the ship like we're not sure what's happening here. And that's right. People should be turning to the Bible. They should be going and saying, well, what does God say about these events? But like I just mentioned, well, they got their victory. And what's now the next step? Well, there's going to be this resurgence and we're going to get all of our stuff back. Things are going to be cheap again. Is that really why God is doing all this? Mr. Fleury says it time and again. God's doing this by his mercy, giving the United States, giving modern Israel one last chance to repent. Looking to the Bible is what people should do, but do we acknowledge what the Bible says? How many of those people are really interested in Bible prophecy? Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, but first, what does the Bible reveal about who and what is God? It is only in this inspired book that God reveals himself, but mankind in general has never believed God. That is what God says. A lot of people acknowledge they believe in God, but do they ask or look to what God says? Someone sent me this clip about Christmas. And it's this pastor, he's a well-known pastor, and talking about, I mean, he's going into a lot of detail about how pagan Christmas is. Talks about the Christmas tree, talks about gift giving, all of these little traditions, says it's all rooted in paganism, and the host is kind of, you know, just shocked and jarred by all of this. But then he says, but Christianity can adopt those things, and as long as they're used to worship Jesus and your heart is right, those things are okay. What about what the Bible says about these things? What about Christ's example? Not what your heart tells you is the right thing to do. And where is there a case in the Bible of God saying to do anything like that? Yeah, you can go ahead and just do what the pagans do as long as your heart's right. And then on top of that, Read what the Bible teaches about the human heart. Jeremiah 17:9, Romans 8:7, Proverbs 14:12. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Is that really what you want to trust? Or do you want to just look at the book and say, what does God say about this? If you want to know God, you have to listen to God. Mr. Armstrong says, but what is God like? Who is God? There have been many conceptions. Some believe God is merely the good or good intentions within each human, merely some part of each human individual. I mean, it's just there are so many wrong teachings out there. People look, and I want that version of the Bible that supports what I believe. I want my religion. It's just there to make me feel good. But God is present here. He wants you reading this book because it declares His glory. And it is a powerful book. God, again, how many people are reading the Bible and looking at Bible prophecy? God powerfully demonstrates His existence and His authority through Bible prophecy. But a lot of people don't like to look at that. They don't want to acknowledge that. But if you're seeking peace of mind, if you're seeking answers, that's Bible. You need Bible prophecy. You watch all of these events, and yeah, if you don't have it, it is easy to get stressed out about it. But if you have the Word of God, if you have Bible prophecy, if you understand the big picture and what all of it's leading to, then you can have peace of mind. Then you can have that stability that you're seeking after. Daniel 2 and verse 28 says, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Bible prophecy, as Mr. Armstrong said, is throughout the Bible. You can't read it and get away from it. It's a third of the Bible, and 90% of it is for our time today. And Bible prophecy, it's about getting to know God. God says this is going to happen, and then it happens. It's a promise. And that helps you get to know God, and you've got to know what He promises. You've got to know what Bible prophecy says. Jesus Christ was a prophet. Read Matthew 24. It's about events that occur before His return. You can look at, we have the cover here. I mean, asking that question following July 13th, if you acknowledge that's a miracle, why is God protecting this man? Why would God be doing this? For this remainder of this program, I just wanted to look back at the year 2024 as a year of fulfilled Bible prophecy. And you can do this really every year. It's exciting. It's again, it gives you peace of mind because you can know where these events are leading. We've got, so much literature to cover these things. But we generally look at these four main regions. We look at the modern descendants of the ancient Israelites, the United States, and Britain in prophecy, like we reference quite a bit on this show. Read that book if you haven't. Study that book. And then along with it, study America Under Attack. And get familiar with these key chapters in the Bible that have to do with our nations today. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. Mr. Fleury goes to 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7. No one else would turn to those verses to explain what's happening to our nations today. That sets him apart. We look at the United States and Britain. We look at Europe, the King of the North. You can read the Holy Roman Empire and prophecy. Study these books. Set a plan and be a student of Bible prophecy. We have all of these textbooks that bring the Bible to life. Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13 and 17 give you the spine or that breakdown of Bible prophecy, that chronology there. We watch the King of the South, radical Islam led by Iran. You can read about that in the King of the South booklet. Study passages like Psalm 83 and Daniel 11 alongside this literature. More passages that no one is going to turn to when studying world events. And then look at Asia, the kings of the East. We have Russia and China in prophecy, and the prophesied prince of Russia. get familiar with Revelation 9 and verse 16, Revelation 16 and verse 12, Ezekiel 38. And God is getting really specific. He wants that we have to know the identities of nations, but we also have personalities now to watch. It's very often that the cover of the Trumpet magazine is a man, is somebody's face. God's getting really specific about who to watch. And we can put faces on these prophecies. In the United States, we have an end time Jeroboam, and that is Donald Trump. There's the Antiochus type, Barack Obama. In Europe, we're waiting for that strong man. There will be a face associated with that personality as described in the Bible in Daniel 8. Ezekiel 38 describes the Prince of Rosh that Mr. Fleury said is Vladimir Putin. Again, another face that brings these prophecies to life. That's something that really stood out to me in just going through the studies, how often God uses men. And these men, when they're taken out of the way, it can cause countries to crumble. Look at Assad being taken out of the way in Assyria. That's one man, and it throws this nation into chaos. But again, that fulfills prophecy. Obama being silenced. That whole movement goes away. You could say the same right now in Canada. Look at the dictator Trudeau. When he's taken out of the way, how drastically that country can change. But God uses these men. And if they're taken out of the way, I mean, look at what happens to that movement. Imagine if Donald Trump on July 13th was killed. I mean, there are 77 million people that voted for him, but what happens to all of them? You have to look again for where God is working. There are a lot of people that will give false reports or that will lie. We just covered those four main areas to watch. And another one to watch is God's church. You read, I was just going through the Holy Roman Empire and prophecy, and almost every verse that talks about this power, there is God's church mentioned. I mean, it's persecuting the church. We have to understand God's church. You can read the true history of God's true church. Know where God is working. Mr. Hilliker had an awesome article in The Last Trumpet titled Follow This Man's Faith. He wrote, talking about the Donald Trump returning to office, he wrote, Mr. Fleury staked his reputation and that of this publication and organization on this forecast. Why? For this extraordinary reason, because Bible prophecies are sure, because God gives Mr. Fleury their true explanation, and because Mr. Fleury steps out in faith to proclaim them and act on them. Donald Trump's decisive election victory showed God's power and validated Bible prophecy. It also confirmed, as have many other events over the past nearly four decades, that Mr. Fleury knows what he is talking about. And that's what I want to get into for the rest of the show. A lot of people, they can scoff at Bible prophecy, but even that fulfills prophecy. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3 says there will be scoffers in the last days that say Christ isn't returning. But look back at this year. Well, like I said, this is a very ambitious thing that I now only have 27 minutes to cover. I don't know how 30 minutes went that fast. I want to look at five broad categories. There are probably quite a few more that you could add in here, but I want to look at these categories in the year 2024 and show how this upholds Mr. Fleury's office. The first is the United States Supreme Court in prophecy. It was back in 2019 that Mr. Fleury looked at Amos 7 and said that this reference here to the King's Court is a reference to the Supreme Court in the United States. The Jeroboam doesn't rule over it, but it strongly favors him. He wrote in Is America Supreme Court in Bible Prophecy? This means, talking about Kavanaugh getting in office, this means President Donald Trump will likely put one or two more justices on the court, making it even more conservative. He writes that in 2019. And then, amazingly, in 2020, he gets another opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court justice there, and he has now a 6-3 majority. Mr. Fleury says in this article, I believe this non-religious entity, the Kingdom's House, is referring to the United States Supreme Court. I believe this prophetic account in Amos 7 implies that there is a conservative advantage in the Supreme Court, one that favors Jeroboam. He writes, radicals want to control the courts, especially the Supreme Court, and God upset those plans. He has a plan of his own. I believe Mr. Kavanaugh's confirmation indicates God will likely see that President Trump has a second term. And now he has that. At that time, it was a 5-4 conservative majority, and John Roberts could go either way on that. Then later that year, Mr. Flurry publishes, Can President Trump Get Control of His Own Divided Government? Again, talking about the Supreme Court, brings that up in there. And then by this point, this is leading up to the election here in 2020. And then out of nowhere, Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies. And a lot of people say, well, why didn't she retire earlier? Why didn't she retire under Obama? And then Trump says, we can't have eight justices on the court heading into this divisive election. And he gets Amy Coney Barrett in there. So now a 6-3 conservative majority. In many ways, that court, like Mr. Flurry said, they didn't help him in 2020. But then you get to the summer of 2024, and it's almost like the Supreme Court is more helpful to Trump when he's out of office than when he was in. There's the March 4th Colorado ballot decision. That one was 9-0 that Trump can stay on the ballot. June 28th of this year, there's the Fisher decision that all of these people who are charged for obstructing an official proceeding, that can't happen. Supreme Court rules 6-3. That breaks apart Jack Smith's case against Trump. That same day, the Supreme Court rules 6-3. And that Chevron case, that unelected federal bureaucrats can't create laws. I mean, dismantling the deep state, a huge help to President Trump. And now Elon Musk and Vivek. A couple days later, there's the big one on July 1st about presidential immunity. And in that one, Clarence Thomas basically looks at Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida and says, this is how you end Jack Smith's special counsel, special investigation. And then on July 15th, Judge Cannon says, Jack Smith's special counsel is unconstitutional. The lawfare is crumbling. This is months before the election. This is the Supreme Court helping bring Donald Trump back into office. Mr. Flurry writes in America Under Attack, this reference, talking about the kingdom's court, this reference strongly suggests to me that the court will play a decisive role in returning Mr. Trump to the presidency. Later he says, then God can get Mr. Trump into office. That will surely happen soon, talking about, again, the court intervening here. And then this article that I is incredible, September 2024, Trumpet Magazine, Mr. Flurry comes out and says, America's Supreme Court has fulfilled Bible prophecy. What's amazing to me about that article is that this is before even the election. He says, but with this decision, referencing those ones I mentioned earlier, and others, the Supreme Court helped Trump and made his return to the presidency far likelier, even inevitable. Believe it or not, this development actually fulfills prophecy. He talks about going back and needing to change those words about the court where he said that it implies that it favors Jeroboam. He says, now this aspect of Amos 7:13 is a fulfilled prophecy, a spectacular, wonderful prophecy. I am going to edit, I believe, implies, and could out of that book. As far as I am concerned, the Supreme Court has brought Trump back to the presidency and has already fulfilled this prophecy. This is a specific, profound prophecy that has been fulfilled before our eyes. This is in the September 2024 trumpet. I remember that sermon. I think it would have been maybe a month, 5 or 6 weeks earlier that he's saying those things, not long after those decisions in July. The Supreme Court has brought Trump back to the presidency before the election occurs. And then, of course, Donald Trump wins on November 5th. That's the next one I want to look at. Donald Trump's war to recover. I don't need to go into a ton of detail on this one. If you've watched the show for even two episodes, you're going to be familiar with this one. Again, it's in 2018 that Mr. Flurry really starts to get into 2 Kings 14 and talks about the affliction that was brought on by the Obama administration. You can read that in Amos 7, where he identifies those verses that point to the two terms of Barack Obama, where Jacob, who is modern Israel, again, read the United States and Britain in prophecy if you're not familiar with some of these terms, but he says Jacob is small, and Obama was trying to fundamentally transform America, and there was an affliction, and that brought on God's wrath. There's bitter affliction, and you have to combine Amos 7 and 2 Kings 14. There's no helper, as 2 Kings 14:26 says, because Jacob is small. There's an affliction happening. And then in 2 Kings 14, God saves Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. Then there's this pause in 2 Kings 14. And then this pause in Amos 7. And then you've got to put in 2 Kings 14 that says Jeroboam will have to war to recover. Go back and read the May-June 2018 Trumpet magazine, Saving America from the Radical Left Temporarily. I think we must have referenced that article hundreds of times on this show. And this year we saw that war to recover. We saw lawfare, like I mentioned earlier, crumbling. They were doing everything they could to take him out. And you can give a lot of credit to Donald Trump. People talk about how resilient he is, but look at that lawfare. I mean, I think the Democrats in a lot of ways are just saying, what is happening? Why nothing is working to take this man out? Teflon Don. But this isn't to credit Donald Trump's lawyers. You could not make this your legal theory, the way these things unraveled. You couldn't go into it and say, hey, we're going to make sure this happens to Fannie Willis, this, this, and this, and we're going to get the Supreme Court to make decisions, and Jack Smith is going to be disappeared. I mean, none of that could happen. You couldn't plan that out. It's inexplicable how that lawfare ended. God saving Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. Mr. Fleury, and that June 1st, 2024 sermon, we played clips from that, says Donald Trump is not going to be assassinated because he needs to fulfill this role in Amos 7. And then there was the big sermon, the July 13th one, where he references Abraham Lincoln getting assassinated. And then 2 hours later, a bullet goes through Donald Trump's ear. You never forget that day. I've probably watched that video again hundreds of times. Was watching it the other day. I thought, well, this would be a cool movie. And then the more I thought of it, I was like, it can't be a movie. There's so much context that goes into making that moment as epic as it was. You look at even the people behind him and you think about the deplorables. And they're just watching this man that they see that's going to help them almost has his brains blown out in front of the whole country. But it hits his ear. It couldn't be more dramatic, like Mr. Hilliker and Mr. Fleury were saying, the way God had that play out, to where people have to acknowledge that's a miracle. And if you do, you have to say, well, what then is God doing? Mr. Fleury, after Trump's victory, says Trump war to recover. I mean, blood was spilled. He had blood on his face. Jeroboam then recovers what was stolen. Trump warred himself back. In a lot of ways, like I said, those court cases or that lawfare, the way it was resolved, it was miraculous. And it reminded me of the church's court case for Mystery of the Ages. You couldn't plan that out yourself. No human mind could come up with that. It was a miracle. Like I said, we've covered that one quite a bit on this show. But again, Mr. Fleury kept saying he's coming back because these prophecies have to be fulfilled. The next area I want to look at is Obama being silenced. It was November 6, 2021, in a sermon where Mr. Fleury talked about Amos 7, verse 1, and talked about how those references to the Obama administration there, Jacob is small. He started talking about that destruction being caused by Obama there in Amos 7. December 4th, 2021, talks about Obama getting too much power. He says, and he, Obama, is getting too much power, and God is going to have to do something. And I think he's already started moving things, and the tide is turning. Again, waiting for the rest of that prophecy in Amos 7 and 2 Kings 14 to be fulfilled. This was a sermon December 9, 2023. Obama could not be challenged. Remember of course, I don't have to remind you, but he's like a god in this country to many people. You couldn't say a negative thing about Barack Obama. Even in 2022, 2023, he's still the rock star. Mr. Fleury says this, December 9th, 2023. So it seems to me that that really is reality. And you would think, well, maybe God would have to in some way remove Barack Obama before we could ever have enough peace to bring Trump back to his job. This is what Barack Obama is directing people to do. He's talking about how riots and how the radical left responds and how that would make it hard for Trump to come back. We saw what they did in 2020, in 2016, all the rioting in the streets. Mr. Fleury is saying, it seems like Obama has to be out of the way. So this is what Barack Obama is directing people to do. But you can imagine if he's out of the way, maybe he'd lose his power just by Satan passing on to another Antiochus. Maybe anyhow, you could see the Supreme Court and other authorities like that would not be so fearful if something like that were to happen. Again, look back at 2020. They were afraid. There's that clip or that rumor that John Roberts, he didn't want to make any decision on the election because he was intimidated by the rioters. They were fearful. And Mr. Fleury says, you could see the Supreme Court, this is December 9th, 2023, and other authorities like that would not be so fearful if something like that were to happen. And then you get 7 or 8 months after Mr. Fleury says that, you get the summer where the Supreme Court, one ruling after another, is helping Jeroboam return to office. Mr. Fleury says, but it is getting to be where it seems like God is going to have to do something rather dramatic to straighten things out and get Trump back to his job. So we will see how things go there, but I think he, Obama, has to be removed. Dramatic, he says, and it has been very dramatic. July 6, 2024, Mr. Fleury gives another sermon, noting that later on in Amos 7, that Antiochus figure is not mentioned. He's referenced, but he's not called an Antiochus, and he says that that's the beginning of that Antiochus figure being silenced. He used that word a lot in that sermon on July 6, 2024. Again, still where Obama is a rock star. Obama's calling the shots, the puppet master. He says this Antiochus, he wanted to blot out the United States. He wanted to fundamentally transform the United States, and now God is silencing him, blotting him out. Again, that's July 2026. A lot of detail in that message. I wish I had grabbed more sound bites. And then now look at some of these headlines. We were going to produce a video about this just with Mr. Fleury's comments about Obama being silenced. And look where we are now. American greatness. Barack Obama, the political genius that wasn't. The Daily Mail, Obama's biographer reveals ex-president fears for his legacy after tone-deaf preaching harmed Harris campaign. How Trump crushed Obama's legacy. Powerline, it's time for him to go. The liberal patriot, farewell to the rising American electorate. The Obama coalition is not coming back. AMAC, the end of the long Obama era. The Guardian, the long Obama era is over. New York Times, the end of the Obama coalition. MSNBC, Obama still doesn't get why Trump won. That's the problem. Victor Davis Hanson, the evaporation of the Obama mystique. Washington Examiner, no longer the party of Obama. And then today this article just came out. Mr. Fleury said he'll probably get into it more tomorrow. It's by David Samuels. He wrote that New York Times piece about Ben Rhodes, the fiction writer. This article is titled, How Barack Obama Built an Omnipotent Thought Machine and How It Was Destroyed. You see the Supreme Court. We see Trump war to recover. We see Obama being silenced. All of this, Mr. Fleury said to look for well before it happened. And then right after that election, right as soon as Trump wins, this coalition breaks down in Germany. Again, it's something we've covered in recent shows. I won't spend a ton of time on it, but that's the fourth area that I wanted to look at, Germany. Mr. Fleury wrote, this is in the most recent Trumpet. I mean, talk about an awesome Trumpet magazine. All of these books and booklets and magazines, this is what you need. These are the things that I was thinking about. Well, what are the news sources go to? Well, that you should go to. Of course, go to the Trumpet, but go even back to the old Trumpet magazines. Go back to the Key of Davids from the 2000s. That is your best news source for understanding what's happening now is content that was produced 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago because it's informed by the Bible, by Bible prophecy. Mr. Fleury writes in this article, as election results in America were being announced, Germany was in turmoil. The day after Americans voted, Germany's coalition collapsed. As dramatic as the fulfilled prophecy in America is, we also need to pay close attention to events in Germany. This nation's future is weak if something doesn't change. He later on says, it is no coincidence that the German coalition government fell apart so soon after America's election. And Donald Trump's victory is certain to create more urgency in Germany to resolve its political crisis. The New York Times headline highlighted the situation, missing in Europe a strong leader for a new Trump era. This is one that we've talked about all the way to Mr. Armstrong. This is 50, 60, 70 years, this rise of the Holy Roman Empire and a strong man. Mr. Fleury pivots right over to Europe. I mean, look at how fast these things happen. Mr. Fleury talked about maybe a weak coalition being what brings him about. He said that, I think it was the 2009 Key of David. And what do we have? A very weak coalition that breaks down as soon as Donald Trump, Jeroboam, is elected. All of these crises converging in Europe. There's the refugee crisis, the coalition, Germany's economy is just on the brink of recession nonstop. And then you've got America being more isolationist. There's the war in Ukraine. There's trade war. This is hurting Germany, and they want their personality, like I said earlier at the start of the show. There's a lot of faces that we can now put on these. Mr. Fleury talks about those 10 kings. There will be faces to look at. And what astounds me is just watching this, and it's Psalm 83, Daniel 11, Mr. Fleury makes this point. The United States and Britain aren't mentioned in these prophecies. And you look at the crisis in Europe and the Middle East right now, no one runs and says, well, what is Britain saying about it? The British Empire that ruled these areas, no one's looking to them. They're looking and saying, what's Germany going to do? Germany needs to get back on track is what they're saying. Germany needs their strongman. So Germany was the other area where we see fulfilled Bible prophecy. The last area I want to touch on is in Syria. This is another one where you look at this area and it's impossible to explain these places. There are so many different groups of bad guys and one's less bad and the other is more bad. And who are we going to be allied with? And anyone that wants to say, well, I can totally understand this region. I mean, it's hard to get your head around. But here, Mr. Fleury, for over 30 years, talking about Psalm 83 and Daniel 11, and then you get to, 2011 is the Arab Spring, and Iran looks like it's got a pretty strong hold in Syria. And Russia comes in there. Obama invites Russia in to Syria and says, handle this. You talk about Russian collusion. But through that point, Mr. Fleury is saying in 2012, he writes how the Syrian crisis will end. Biblical prophecy reveals that very soon Syria will no longer align with Iran. It also shows that Germany will help cause this split. And then we've covered again Psalm 83, Daniel 11. But look at how quickly Bashar Assad, just out of the way, these things happen so fast. And it could happen that way in Germany. It could happen that way in Germany next week. They're talking about even February being too far away for this election, and that it might even just be a pointless election. These things are happening very dramatically and very quickly. In May, Mr. Fleury started talking again about Syria. This is 13 years after the Arab Spring and that civil war. And again, it just sort of seemed like out of nowhere, Mr. Fleury starts talking about Syria in May of this year. On May 15th, I just wanted to add some dates here to what Mr. Fleury was talking about on the Trumpet Daily the other day. May 15th, Mr. Gerald Fleury films the Key of David. Iran is losing Syria to Germany. Then on May 18th, a couple days later, he gives a sermon about that same subject. He says, "And yet if you look at this, it makes no mention of Syria. Syria is not mentioned here. So it would seem that Syria was allied with Germany even before the war between the King of the North and the King of the South. And so it will be interesting to watch what Syria does and if maybe something happened to Assad. But you just never know in this world." Then again, where it seemed like that kind of came out of nowhere, he says, a couple days later, Geopolitical Futures writes this article on May 21st talking about Syria. That article, it's titled "The Rift Between Iran and Syria." And that article, again, comes out after Mr. Fleury starts speaking about it. And that article, Geopolitical Futures, says Syrian President Bashar Assad has reason to distance himself from his erstwhile ally, Iran. It's true that Iran helped stabilize the government in Damascus and was instrumental in putting down a rebel uprising, but its continued presence on Syrian territory is a threat to Assad, not least because it invites occasional strikes from Israel. Assad sees Israeli, and so on it goes. But again, now they're looking at Syria, and then that Key of David that Mr. Fleury filmed, it's posted online on May 23rd, 2024. It's titled "Iran is losing Syria to Germany." And then what have we seen the last 2 or 3 weeks? Again, it happens very fast. In less than 2 weeks, this is December 9th, 2024, CNN. "The Assad regime ruled Syria for 50 years. Here's how it fell in less than 2 weeks. After less than 2 weeks of fighting across Syria's northwest, rebel groups swiftly seized control of the capital. Their presence seemed to catch the regime off guard, forcing Assad to flee to Russia with his family." Now we see Russia and Iran out of this country. And who's going to fill in that void? According to Bible prophecy, watch Germany, watch the Holy Roman Empire. Again, in this magazine, this is before the collapse of Syria. This is the most recent one that's put together. But there's an article about Lebanon, and it's the same story. Look at that map. We just had it up there. It's my favorite map. And it has the Psalm 83 alliance and the Daniel 11, a King of the South alliance up there. No one else is going to show you that map. It's something you can look at that illustrates Bible prophecy. Familiarize yourself with that map. Watch it happen. Watch Egypt and Libya. That's another thing that we've got material on. Watch Ethiopia. I mean, these are things nobody's talking about. And it can happen in that region. It can happen in just a few days. But remember who said it first. Remember those old Key of David programs with Mr. Fleury. Look at these strongmen. Know the identities of nations. But remember, you have to respond to Bible prophecy. This is a powerful way that God works in your life. And he demonstrates his power and authority. And you get to know God and you have peace of mind knowing Bible prophecy because, again, it proves his authority and it all leads to the most hopeful event in the history of the universe, the return of Christ to restore government, to restore God's government. Read the rest of Daniel 2 and that stone from heaven coming down and sorting out all of this chaos by just turning it into dust and saying, we're going to start and we're going to do this the right way. That's what all of it leads to. This is where peace of mind and hope comes from. All of those people buying up Bibles and turning back to the Bible, they need Bible prophecy. That's what sets this show apart. That's the exclusive material that you're going to get on this show that you don't get anywhere else, that you're going to get and the Trumpet magazine that you're going to get in these books and booklets. I know I threw a lot of material at you, but if you don't have any of those things, call and request them for free. Everything is free. We want you to read these things. We want you to have physical copies of them to mark up. And then in a few years, you reference them back. And you say, how is that written years in advance of that actually happening? Call or email us, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you very much for joining us on today's show. Mr. Stephen Fleury will be back with you again for tomorrow's show. We look forward to seeing you.